Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Christian Church. We would like to draw your attention to the announcements.
Join us on December 24th at 5 o'clock p.m. for our Christmas Eve service. Invite your family and friends and come celebrate the birth of Christ with us here at Real Life Christian Church.
Ladies, mark your calendars for Saturday, January 4th at 10 a.m. We're going to have a brunch for all the ladies of our church at 10 a.m. on January 4th in the Fellowship Hall. Bring a sweet or savory brunch item to share and enjoy a fun morning with your friends, enjoying a meal and playing bunco. See you there.
If you will, bow your heads and pray with me. Dear God, your book says where one or more is gathered. So we gather here this morning to celebrate that gift that you sent us. Your son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth so that we could have the life that you wanted for us from the very beginning. He is the way that we come to you. So be with us as we celebrate that in your name today, this morning. Amen.
1, 2, intro, 2, 3, 4. Verse 1.
Chorus.
Verse 2. Drums in.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our King.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. This is the season for giving, and I'd like to begin by reading part of a prayer that was written long ago about some gifts that we all have the potential to receive and share. This prayer was written by a man who had a big heart but little money and dreamed of giving his friends great gifts. He wrote this prayer when he realized that there were gifts of greater value than those that money can buy. I pray for you joy in abundance and laughter, for laughter cures our ills and joy makes our spirits soar. I pray for you patience, for most troubles pass if we wait them out, and success comes with persistence. I pray for you unwavering faith, for faith shapes our morals and our destiny and draws us closer to God. I pray for you a mind full of hope, for hope determines our attitudes, sets our goals, and creates our ideals. I pray for you a heart so full of love that every day you must give some away to those whose paths you cross. The priceless gifts that cannot be purchased with money in the complete prayer are joy, laughter, a sigh, tears, serenity, wisdom, patience, courage, compassion, willingness to work, faith, hope, and love. The Bible speaks of many of these gifts that we are to share daily in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." God has given us the greatest gift ever given. This is why we celebrate Christmas by giving each other gifts. This communion reminds us that God's Son freely given and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross also freely given really are the best gifts of the season. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the priceless gift of your only Son, who was sacrificed for our sins so that we might be united with you for eternity. Draw us into this fellowship of believers as we are reminded of the sacrifice, resurrection, promise of victory over Satan, and the truth of eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you. Speaking of gifts, we're now coming to our offering time. We serve God by serving others. This time of offering is an opportunity for us to worship and to serve. Galatians 6:10 says, whenever we have the opportunity, we must do what is good for everyone, especially for the family of believers. And Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful beyond measure for the abundance in our lives. We ask that you multiply our gifts to you and that they will be used for your purpose in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As you can tell, it is still ugly Christmas sweater season, isn't it? But this is not a sweater, so it doesn't really count, right? And today we're going to enter into our final week of this ugly Christmas sweater series. So far, we've wrestled with all the ways we often live with ugly thoughts and ugly words, and ugly motives. Sometimes we're just ugly, right? And during all seasons, we have to be mindful, however, not to have ugly actions. Ugly actions. Any of y'all ever do that? How about when somebody cut you off on the way to church today? Do you have any ugly actions? You know, but the Christmas season, it's a time when we can make conscious decisions to bless people. And we do that because of the blessing God gave us sending Jesus to earth. We have the ability to live like Jesus. But all too often, we end up acting like the ugly Christmas sweater. Don't we? You know, it's Christmas time, and we often see all at one time the best of humanity and the worst of humanity, don't we? I know we went to Sam's Club yesterday, and where would all them people come from? I have never seen it that crowded a day in my life. I was like, these people are not happy to be here. I saw very few people with smiles on their face and being nice. And I just wonder if they've got the right idea about Christmas. Do they really celebrate Jesus? Looked to me more like they were more celebrating the rib roast than they were their Jesus. But God gave us a blessing by sending Jesus to earth, and we have the opportunity to repay that. We have the ability to not be an ugly Christmas sweater. And then on Tuesday, people all over the world will gather up in dimly lit rooms, sing Christmas carols and light candles to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And then within the next day, they're fighting over the newest and best new cell phone, arguing over all kinds of things, rather than celebrating the birth of Jesus. How can these two extremes all happen at the same time? How can you have both at the same time? Well, the Bible tells us we have two natures that are constantly at war with one another. And one nature inspires us to love people around us and live humbly, while the other nature causes us to want to look out for number one. And by looking out for number one, we'll push others down to do it. The battle begins when we're young, doesn't it? If you've got kids, you already see them battling that nature. It's all about them. How many tantrums have you seen because you wanted them to do something they didn't want to do, or be nice to their siblings, or just nice to you even? But the truth is, it doesn't get any easier when we get older. Lots of times it gets worse. And The battle is something we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to learn how to treat others the way God would treat them. Paul wrote the book of Colossians to this town, and they were just people, just like you and me. We look at the letters in the Bible and we think, oh, they're writing them to the church. He was writing them to the people in the church. Those people had the same kind of problems that we have to have. They have to try to figure out how to love people well in the light of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we do too. Somehow, some way, the sacrifice of Christ should have some profound effect on the way that we live. It should matter enough to where it's a difference maker in what you do. If not, we'll never make the shift from being ugly Christmas sweaters to something more beautiful. It's time for our ugly actions to become godly actions, don't you think? The season of Advent is meant to be a time for us to slow down and reflect on the reality of Christ's birth and the reality of His return. It should be slowing down, but it's far from that, isn't it? We need to allow these two truths to change us, the idea that He came and He's coming again. We should change us. To move us to become individuals who love one another well. The season reminds us of a very few important things. And one thing I will say is, people do crazy things in the name of Christmas, don't they? All you got to do is ride through some of the neighborhoods and look at the decorations. I mean, I used to be guilty of it, but this year I said, I'm not doing that anymore. I mean, people are making a fortune putting up lights for people. And, we all know it started with, you know, Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation. Everybody said, ooh, I can do that. But now it's become an industry, and it has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. You know, if you got lights on your house, good for you. But it should never overshadow the birth of our Savior. And the truth is, when I was growing up, we did crazy things too. My dad would put us in the old pickup truck, and when I was a boy, a few weeks before Christmas, we'd go riding around on the back roads and the dirt roads down by the river. And when he'd see the tree that he wanted, he'd pull over and stop. And we didn't know whose property it was. I'm sure we didn't know. And we never asked for permission. We just jumped the fence with our handsaw. We sawed down that little tree, whatever it was, hopped back across, threw it in the back of the truck, and went back to civilization, where we would trim it up, set it in the living room, hang ornaments and lights all over, and then Mom would give us this thing we called tinsel. Remember that? And we'd just throw it all over the place. And then Dad would spend till the end of January working on the vacuum cleaner. Kids today have no idea what tinsel is, do they? Do they even still sell it? Or did the vacuum cleaner company, you know, they pushed that stuff? Because you're going to have to buy a new one. They still sell it, but people have got smart enough not to buy it, I guess. But, I mean, it ends up everywhere. Something about this time of year causes people to reorient their entire lives around this holiday season, doesn't it? Whether they're Christians or not, everything becomes about the season. And normally rational human beings will cover their homes in lights, buy too many gifts, blow their budgets, do all kinds of other Christmas crazy. Attitudes change, budgets change, and all of this stuff changes. And why? Because it's Christmas. And Paul is writing the Colossians. He's making a plea for the followers of God to reorient their lives in the same kind of a way. To be willing to live in a unique, countercultural way because of the love of God. And Paul is very persuasive in this, in telling the audience that there can be no excuses for not living life God's way. He expects it. God expects you to live life His way. He says in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, after this long discussion, which we're going to unpack in a bit, but you're still going to make it to lunch, I promise, Paul shares his final thoughts with his readers in verse 17. Everything we do, whether word or deed, needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much of our life? All of it. Every bit of it. Even the stuff that you don't want to live for Jesus, you suddenly got to change it. I don't know about you all, we've all got those moments in our life where we're, well, I really didn't do that in the name of Jesus, did I? You ever caught yourself doing that? You know, when, like I said, when somebody cuts you off in traffic and suddenly you remember sign language, right? Or maybe you find yourself caught up in gossip in the corner, but the damage is already done, and you got to go back and live with that. You know, those things are, it's hard to do those things in the name of Jesus, isn't it? But all of our lives, every bit of it should be lived in the name of Jesus. So how are you doing this? Hey, if you were to look over the last month, and how much of your life is based on your relationship with Jesus? What percentage of your words and deeds are centered on Christ? Because more often than not, our actions don't look like Jesus, do they? And they're rather selfish and self-serving. That's what we do. Paul tells us to make sure our actions are reflective on the fact that we're grateful for God's grace in our life. And it's easy. I could come in here and say, how many of you are thankful for God's grace? And everybody in here say, yes, I'm thankful for God's grace. But does your life say that? We can give thanks for God for the stuff He's already given us. Can't we? It's easy. Say, God, thank you for the heat today in this room. Yeah. Thank you for me being able to get up and take a shower in a hot shower this morning. Yet, we're supposed to take that grace, that those gifts, those thankfulness that we have, and be ready to treat others with that same grace He gives us. And we should do that all in the name of Jesus. The kind of intention it takes to wear an outfit to a party is the same kind of intention it takes to live as God's people. I dare say most people spend much more time intentionally picking out their outfit every day than they do intentionally trying to live for Jesus. I'd say it's true. Because you got to wear the right outfit for what you're doing that day, right? If you've got an important meeting, you dress a little nicer. If you're just laying around the house, don't come to my house uninvited. Because I will not look like I'm expecting company. You see, the truth is, we don't put a lot of effort in the intentionally living like Jesus. Living the way Paul tells us to live is a lot like choosing a Christmas sweater. You got to look at it. You got to pick your outfit. No matter what kind of crazy sweater someone chooses to wear, guess what? They picked it. I picked this out. Leslie didn't dress me. I don't care what any of you said. She didn't even see me this morning when I left. Paul writes to the Colossians and gives them insight for the kinds of actions their lives would exemplify. He says this. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." There's a very interesting Greek word there used for clothe or to put on, and the word is enduo. And it is literally in the sense of sinking into a garment or to cover yourself. And it is an active word, and Paul is using to paint a picture for his readers. In order for us to love people well and not act like the ugly Christmas sweater, you must intentionally put on new and better kinds of actions. You know, I think it's easy to say that whatever action you put out, there's a reaction, right? And that reaction is determined by the kind of action you put out. You know, it's the kind of intention it takes to put out a great Christmas service suit or maybe these matching pajamas that's the crazy thing now, isn't it? My whole house was dressed alike last night. And they did it on purpose. Not me, I was in the basement watching my team get beat, but still. You come upstairs, and even Maria, they all dressed alike. I thought, what's going on here? And you know what? We'll do it again Christmas Day. But that takes intentionality. It's done on purpose. There's effort put in it. Not by me. Leslie does all that stuff. But it's on purpose. You don't just wake up each day with godly actions and avoid the ugly ones. We make the decision each day on how we're going to treat people. How we treat our spouses is important. How we treat our kids, it's important. How we treat our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors, it's important. How you treat the people you run into at the store, it's important. How you treat your waiter or waitress is important. It matters. Paul lists out the kind of actions, you know, the Spirit requires of us. He says this, compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. It's the ability to see a situation from somebody else's vantage point. To feel what somebody else is feeling, even. Compassion leads people to serve others sacrificially. Compassion is the key to changing a broken world, isn't it? This takes a selfless attitude. You can't be selfish and be compassionate at the same time. The results are that people actually listen to each other. You hear people's problems and troubles and you respond with compassion. But then that leads us to kindness. And it sounds like a simple word, but it's a whole lot harder to actually live out, isn't it? Kindness is what happens when we're looking for practical ways to serve each other. Like mowing a neighbor's yard or mowing the preacher's yard, you know. Or buying groceries for a family under financial strain. Or writing a letter just because you want to bless someone. Kindness is saying the right thing at just the right time or taking an action when you're in a position to make a difference. Kindness is doing the right thing to positively impact those around you. Paul tells us to clothe ourselves also with humility, and this is one we really like, but humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself. It's not about having a negative self-image. That's not being humble. Being humble is thinking about others more. Humble is taking on the kind of mentality Jesus taught us and he modeled for us. Selfishness is ugly, isn't it? I mean, in our world, we make up words for selfishness. Where do you think narcissists came from? Somebody made that thing up and put it on somebody because they were really, really selfish. It's basis of Selfishness is actually the basis for every sin, isn't it? Sin is selfish. Sin is self-serving. That's the reason we like it so much. And humility, you know, then is the way in which sin is overcome. Because you think of somebody else first, you're not being selfish. And the way Jesus is made a reality is to be selfless, not selfish. Paul tells us to clothe ourselves also with gentleness. And it means controlled strength. Now think about that. The word is not about weakness, it's about power. And gentleness has power. Power comes from the Spirit of God living in us and helps us control our impulses. You don't have any impulses, do you? Especially when somebody cuts you off, like I was talking about earlier. Mine's to go for that horn. Luckily, one of my trucks broke, so I can push it all I want to, and it won't go off. But this power comes from the Spirit. And in gentleness, our actions express themselves in service to the weak and the powerless among us. This is not a word that describes a wimp. To be gentle does not make you wimpy. It describes someone who is not afraid to step into injustice or brokenness to instigate change. Paul tells us also that we got to be patient. Boy, we like that one, don't we? If you ever pray for patience, watch out. Because patience comes through trial. It means to put up with something for a long time before getting angry or giving up. You know, anything that can also be translated long-suffering. Yeah, I don't need to go any further, do I? Clothing yourself in patience allows you to love people who are hard to love. And some of y'all are hard to love. And to serve people who are hard to serve. Patience is the key to becoming someone who looks like Jesus, because spiritual maturity does not happen overnight, does it? You're not just going to wake up one day and have it all together. None of these attributes come naturally to us. But we must choose them. And we got to choose to put them on. We have to clothe ourselves with them. I mean, let's go back to Colossians. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, gentleness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Then he says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You got anybody you need to forgive? He says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Have you ever had that sweater, not necessarily a Christmas sweater, but that sweater that you just loved? You know, you just absolutely loved it. And maybe you wear it every year to all the parties and all the gatherings, and one day there's a snag and a thread sticking out. And you can just tell that it's threatening to pull it apart. And you carefully try to pull it and snip it a little bit. Or to tie it up, only to find that if you pull any more, the whole sweater is going to come apart. This is a dangerous moment. And the moment you realize it's all connected, every thread is part of another thread. The same is true for the Christian. All the things Paul said in these verses have a common thread. That thread is love. He says, above all else, put on and clothe yourself in love. This action gives life to every other one. Without love, all the other ones can't happen. The Christmas season is all about a God who loved us enough to send His Son and save us. Therefore, it makes sense that love would be the binding attribute for us to love others with godly actions, wouldn't it? I mean, love is a verb, right? It's action. In order to really love others, we have to put love into action. To move from ugly actions to godly ones starts with love. The word Paul uses for love in Colossians, it's a very specific word. It's the Greek word agape, which means sacrificial love. It's a love that cost you something. The question is, are you willing to pay the cost to live with love? We can't just say we love people. I mean, it's real easy for me to say I love people, but do I show that I love people through my actions? If we're going to live with love this Christmas season, it has to start with God's love. We must first realize that God truly loves us. Do you realize that? That God truly loves you. Matter of fact, we love these verses, don't we? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Don't we love that? For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God himself is motivated by love. Love. This love prompted Jesus to come to earth in the first place. Because if you were in heaven, you wouldn't want to come down here either unless you love somebody. God did not send Jesus to come to condemn the world, but to rescue it. I tell people all the time, God doesn't judge you. You judge yourself by your actions. He doesn't condemn anybody. You condemn yourself by choosing not to follow him. Every action Jesus takes throughout his life and ministry, even his death and resurrection, is based on love for all of humankind. That means he even likes the people you don't like. He loves you, so why wouldn't he love everybody else? Because some of y'all are really unlikable. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 4. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his God to be the... I picked his translation because it says propitiation, which is to die for our sins, to pay for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Do you see this? We have this incredible opportunity to love people around us. And if we love people around us the way God loves us, they see God through us. We are called to represent God to this world through our love. We used to sing that the old hymn, "They'll Know Us By Our Love." You know, and it sounded like a marching song, you know. They'll know us by our love. Well, do they know us by our love? That'd be the real question for Real Life Christian Church. Does the community, do the people outside of these walls know us by our love? Do they? The mark of a Christian is someone who is dedicated to embracing God's amazing love for us and allowing this love to flow. I mean, love is action. Therefore, this Christmas season, this week, I want to challenge all of us to choose one person, one family to offer sacrificial love to. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience in the way that we treat them. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a neighbor or a brother or sister. But choose somebody and show them love. Not just say something to them, but show love. I mean, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? because we live in a selfish, fallen world, and people hurt us. But the first step is loving yourself and giving your heart to Jesus. That's where it starts, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how everything we do, everything we come across, comes to a heart problem? Either our heart's full of bad thoughts and therefore bad words come out, or our heart's full of bad motives or therefore bad actions come out, or our life is filled with joy because we know that Jesus has our heart. Isn't that where it all begins? It begins by giving our heart to the one who loved us enough to leave paradise and come down here into this mess of a world that we live in. And the world was just a big a mess then as it is now. It just couldn't be publicized as well. People were still fallen and sinful and mean. And Jesus chose to come and leave paradise because he loved you. Because he loves you now. He chose, even though he knew that the very people that he came to rescue would reject him, call him names, spit on him, and nail him to a cross. He knew. He knew all of that. Yet he still chose love. Will you choose love today? If you don't know Jesus, today's the great day to start. Talk about the greatest gift you'll ever give for Christmas, and it's knowing that heaven is waiting for you. A place where there'll be no more struggle. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more disease. Where all the bills will be paid. Have to fight about what you're going to have for dinner anymore. A place where there's peace and joy and happiness all the time. But you have to first accept that gift. And it's the greatest exchange of gifts in all of history. You accept Jesus' free gift. You reach out and take it. You choose by confessing him as Lord and being baptized into Christ that you are going to accept his gift, and in return, you give him your heart. And he works with you. And he loves you. Slowly but surely making you into what you need to be and who you want to be. Full of love. But will you choose it? That's the question, isn't it? Will you choose it? And for the rest of us, we made that choice a long time ago. But I guarantee you there's something you're struggling with today. There's a place where love is dark in your life. And as we sing this next song, you can rededicate your life to him. And the great thing about Jesus is he's always standing there with his arms wide open, wanting to give you a great big Christmas hug. But you have to choose it. So whatever decision you have to make, let's make it as we stand and sing.
Sweet head, the stars in the sky.
Merry Christmas. It's almost here. If you hadn't got your shopping done, watch out. So, listen, we've got a few things going on, like Christmas Eve service. Don't forget, 5 o'clock, we'll have a candlelight service. And then you can go and celebrate Christmas with your family. But what better way to celebrate the season than together for Christmas Eve? Also, the giving tree's looking pretty good, isn't it? And it's looking good. We got all kinds of stuff to give away. And Leslie's been working with Safe House trying to get that together, but I don't think it has all materialized yet. But there will be a date there where we'll be asking for some volunteers to go with us and help us serve. And if you were there with us last year, it was a lot. We hope we get in there. You know, they're not real fast to respond, but they're really busy too. I'm not going to give this shirt away. I'm going to keep it forever, Ricky. I might wear it in July. Nobody would probably take it anyway. Yeah, the church office will be closed for Christmas. Plus, we got a water leak out there, and I got to fix it, and the water will be off over on this side first of the week. So we won't be in the office on Monday and Tuesday because of that. Yeah, so going to get it fixed. All right, with that, let's go out and be the church. Let's go show people Jesus through our actions, right? All right, I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards if you need to talk. So, Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, this is a great time of the year. I know that everybody says that because everybody likes this time of year with the gifts and the music and all that, but we love it too just because it's a time that we can remember everything that you've given us and everything that your son represents. So as we travel, as we see our family, as we hold the ones closest to us, just be with us and let us feel the love of you and your son. And let's all have a Merry Christmas. In your name, amen.
One more thing.